You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to A Celtic State of Mind. I'm Paul John Dykes, and today I am joined by Chris McElwain. We are here, of course, to talk about Celtic 0, St Mirren 0. And Chris, you know, this has been the story of our season quite a bit. At home, Kevin McCluskey normally and I sitting here talking about a nothing each stalemate. And to be honest, I've seen enough of these not to be panicking at this stage. But let's try and unpack a wee bit of what's going on in that first half. In the back of your mind, you're thinking, yes, you're up against the wind, right? We take all that into consideration. What do you think has been the biggest issue for us in that first half? We've not really created a great deal, have we?
Do you know, I think we're seeing the best and worst of players that couldn't today on one match. For me, his positioning, his link-up play with O'Reilly and Johnson, and his use of the ball up to the point where he gets into the box has been excellent. I thought he's been showing a bit of strength. But the final ball, oh, how frustrating. How many times has he carried the ball into the box and only managed to find an opposition player? That's really frustrating to watch. If there's one element of the game that I think him and a lot of players need to work on, it's just that final pass. I think another big issue from what I've seen in the first half is we're missing a more direct player in the centre of the park at the moment. Iwata, I think, is doing great in terms of the defensive work, but we're playing St Mirren at home here, and I'm sort of thinking this is a good opportunity to maybe get a guy like Ida on up front and play two up front. Yep. I think, you know, we're all was a bit susceptible being hit in the break, as we've saw by some of the chances that, you know, very few, but, you know, fairly substantial chances that St Mirren have had. But yeah, I think we're overloading the areas of the pitch we don't need to be in this match. I'd like to see us being a bit more, a bit stronger, and maybe flooding it further up the further park. And I think, you know, a player like Ida could maybe unleash Kyogo a little bit here as well.
Yeah, right. Okay, so there's two players actually in that first half who I think that you're spot on. We're playing St Mirren at home. Now, The first thing we spoke about in the pre-match was the fact that St Mirren are not an easy opponent. We regard the manager as being one of the, for me, he's one of these guys that can take a provincial club like Motherwell or St Mirren, yep, and turn them into a top six team, because he knows, he's very tactically astute, and he knows how to defend against a team like Celtic. And I think that he's shown that in the first half. That's what he's good at. So it's no disrespect to St Mirren. But from Celtic's perspective, I always feel going into games like this, Chris, do we really need a pivot? Do we really need a defensive mid? I mean, this is a thing that frustrates me at times, and it's just this, sometimes it's a modern football thing where it's two up front, nobody plays two up front. And if you were to play Kyogo in more of a roving role where he can drop back into the 10, he can then start to, you know, make that link between the midfield and the forwards, because he's brilliant at that. And obviously the change could well be either coming in into play. I think there's sometimes a predictability about the shape. There's a reluctance for us to do things like that. And I don't think Brendan is alone in that. You know, we didn't see it very often with Ange Postecoglou. I think that was one of the reasons why Jorgis Giakoumakis, who we spoke about in the pre-match, couldn't find enough game time and enough minutes in the Celtic starting 11, because there was only one spot, there was only one jersey. So I think that is something that you would do. And nothing each, I'm not sure he's, I'm not going to say brave enough, I'm just, he might see it as a bit of a risk to make that change. But the Kyogo thing, Kyogo has barely been in this game. He's barely been in this game. There was one moment where Kuhn tries a wee dink over the top. I thought it was a right moment to play. The run was there. I think he is trying to make the runs, but we're not linking it up. We're not getting him into the game. And that's frustrating for me, because if you get Kyogo on the ball, if you create a chance, Kyogo's going to score, right? But on a day like today, where you see how St Mirren are defending, maybe give him an opportunity to drop back a wee bit. And sometimes the best way to do that is bringing on your man either. I mean, I don't think... Of the two wingers, I think Kuhn's probably had the better first half, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Nothing's really came off, I don't think, for him. On the other side, I think Yang's been weak, but I think we, as a unit, have been weak on the left-hand side, Chris.
Yeah, I would agree. I actually thought Yang had a couple of decent moments in the first half where he kind of, you know, he was able to run with the ball and, you know, he tracked back. He did a little bit really early on in the match. He actually chased the ball and won it back. I thought that was great. It was kind of my Ada like. But yeah, there's not enough creativity coming for that side at all from either him or Taylor. I don't think a link-up between Yang and Taylor has been on the same level as, say, Johnston, O'Reilly and Kuhn on the other side.
Okay,
you know, I think we really need to be finding a system and a flow of play that brings someone like Kyogo into the game. But I think, as you've rightly pointed out, Kyogo looks a bit isolated up there. And I also think, you know, as I spoke about with Kuhn, Kuhn's driving into the box, he's getting into a position where he should be able to pick a player out. But actually, when you watch it, there's only really Kyogo in that box. And if he's getting marked out the game, then where are the options for Kuhn? Because you only get a split second to make a decision. So I think, you know, you bring someone like Ida on, whether you sacrifice Iwata or maybe even one of the wingers and go a wee bit more like a three in the middle, I'm not sure. But I think what having Ida in there alongside Kyogo, with Kyogo's movement, Kyogo will either drag defenders away from Ida or Ida will tie up the defenders for Kyogo to get space. And I think that's what we're missing at the moment. We just don't seem to have an outlet. I would like to see a bit more from Hitati as well. He looked pretty dangerous getting into the edge of the box. Similarly, O'Reilly had one shot where I thought he should have actually put the laces through it and tried to do a bit of a pass through, but, you know, as I say, split-second decision-making. But yeah, I would just like to see it be a little bit more direct, a little bit more forward-thinking in terms of our play at the moment, because there were passages of play in that first half where it just felt like we were going through the motions. The urgency wasn't there. You know, we didn't look like a team that's actually trying to go and get a few goals, and I want to see more of that urgency in the second half.
Yeah, I'm going to bring in some of the comments. My take on that first half has been pretty typical in many of the halftime bulletins, in that we don't have the tempo that we need. Often what will happen is, you know, one of the wingers has a cracking game and the other one's a wee bit quieter. Today, you know, we've not seen a great deal from either of the two. What I didn't like about Yang, right, and again, some people might be thinking, right, you've got something against this guy. I don't. I actually don't. But what I hate seeing is a player stopping. Right? Stopping completely and throwing his head into his hands and all this kind of stuff, right? He did that. He did that because one of his passes didn't come off. And it annoys the life out of me, Chris, because I think that it was something similar to that last week against Rangers. A couple of times I thought to myself, you really need to be 100% on it all the time. You don't have, you know, all the histrionics, you don't have time to throw your arms up in the air and all the rest of it, flat-footed, and St Mirren are away. You're thinking, no, son, you need to be the first form of defence if you lose the ball. And he's not shown me that in the first half. Again, I don't want to go in all guns blazing on him. I know he's up against a very, very strong wind. Joseph McGonigal, slow first half. We are being overplaying it at times. No presence in the middle. We don't seem to have a presence in there. Paddy Lavery, this has been a tough watch. Yes.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
That has been a tough watch. And Stephen Sloan, the downgrade from Jota and Maeda to Yang and Kun is staggering. Another half with not a single shot on target. If we win this league, it will be a miracle. You know what, right? I'm just going to say this, and it's not to Stephen. It's for anybody who's sitting thinking, this is rotten. We're going to drop points. We've been here so many times this season, yeah. Chris. So I'm not panicking just yet. We need to go out and approach this completely differently. Use the win to your advantage in the first 10 minutes and get that opening goal. Sounds cliched, sounds obvious, but seriously, the game completely changes at that point. Matt McAllister, Kuhn has had some good moments, but haven't even tested the keeper yet. Half-time tweaks, I'm sure, are coming from the manager. Will he make any changes at half-time, though? Chris, we've seen him doing it, but I'm not sure there's been so bad a performance that he'll do it today.
I mean, look, there's two elements to the performance. The first one, I think we've not been clinical enough or direct enough going forward. I actually think defensively we've done okay. There's been a couple of moments where St Mirren have put dangerous
chances.
Half chances. I actually think Navrochki is having a pretty decent game. There was one tackle around about the 33rd minute where he ran back and he showed a bit of pace, and you know the attacker had a bit of pace as well. I thought he made the right decision. You know, he got his foot to it and put it out. I thought was good defending. So he's done okay. I don't think we've been under any massive danger. You know, there's not been too many panicky moments, which is nice to see. So it's been pretty assured at the back. But yeah, I mean, if he was going to make any changes, I'm thinking that left hand side might be where he does it. Where does he bring in Palma to get more of a delivery from that side, maybe a deeper kind of delivery or even a threat from set pieces? We know Palma, obviously, is just coming back from injury. We know he's got a long-range shot on him. Maybe we need more of that to actually go and test the keeper, particularly we're playing, with the wind, as it were. Alternatively, does he take Iwata out, maybe either bring in McGregor and look to really push Hatate and O'Reilly forward? Could be the game for that. Does he bring either one? Do we go with the two up front? He's not done it too often, the changes at half time. And I think when you're nothing each, but you're still very much the team in the ascendancy in the game, I would say. I mean, I think we have dominated without penetrating. You know, he might just be like, let's get it to 60 minutes, see if we've created anything. If it's still not really looking like we're going to get a goal, then he might change it.
The good thing is we do have the options. There's been occasions where the options haven't been there. Thomas Burns, welcome back in. Celtic have turned in this type of performance too many times this season. You're right.
Absolutely.
In the past, Thomas, the frustration in the past has been that we can't get out of that gear and we seem to be stuck in that rhythm and we can't get it flowing. Today, I think there's a few other things working in our favour. Second half, the wind's behind you. Strong, strong wind, by the way. And we do have options on the bench as well. There's a few people saying here about the shot that Matt O'Reilly had. You know what, right? And people are going to say, Paul, you never say a bad word about this guy. I think in his mind, he's thinking the wind's there. He needs to keep it controlled. He needs to try and keep it low. And he's tried to place it. If you know, second half, he maybe puts his laces through it. That's the only thing. I just think we're being a bit ponderous when it comes to that final moment where you just let fly. And it might be due to the fact that you're not really controlling what happens the minute that ball leaves your boot. Stevie boy, okay, Brendan, time to earn your coin. Yes, get out there and win this second half. I want three goals in the second half. The wind is indeed a leveller, Emerald Abroad, and I think that's important. And we've got to consider that. Mikey boy, 80, we need to up the level in the second half. I think Mikey was coming up. I think he was coming up with his boy for the game today. Hopefully you're there and you're enjoying it. And Donny Tiny Hands, big second half needed. We've said it so many times. Ewan Boy Martin. Now, let everybody understand. Ewan, like Chris, started popping up on the comment section. We spoke, we met. And obviously, it's bizarre, these things. You know, back in the day, it used to be like one of these things. Nobody would like to admit, Chris, or I met my girlfriend on the internet. Nobody used to like to admit that. But you meet so many people now that you have initially met online. And I'm not saying that we are in that type of relationship, Chris, but we have met through this particular platform. And so has Ewan Martin and I. And Ewan has been saying to me for ages, you've got to bring Axom to Dunoon. Got to do it. And I was like, all right, okay, is there a want? Is there a need for that? And obviously we launched that event with Peter Grant and Joe Miller. It's the Centenary Boys in Dunoon Borough Hall. Tickets started flying off the shelf, as they say. And that's next month, 17th of May. So Ewan had his wish. We're going to be bringing Axom to Dunoon. And Ewan's watching the game today. He says, Iwata has been hiding when we are on the ball. Not acceptable. Our number six must do more. Or is he even needed in that role? This is a big thing for me, Chris. Do we really need a defensive mid in there?
Yeah, I think the game's passing him by a little bit, to be honest. I don't think he's doing anything fundamentally wrong. I just think he's not... The position is not allowing him to influence the game. Now, Ewan Boy makes a decent point. Maybe Iwata's got to take the initiative and actually say, okay, I'm not having to do much defensive work here, so maybe I can carry the ball forward and actually, you know, give a bit of an outlet to the guys around me. So I think Ewan Boy makes a decent point, but I do think it's just, you could take Iwata out of that team at the moment or out of that lineup and actually maybe bolster the attack. And I think I don't think it would weaken us too much in the centre of the park. I don't think that's where St Mirren are getting joy from. So, it would be the kind of change I'd probably like to see. And it's no real criticism of Iwata. I just think when you're playing teams that are playing mostly defensively, as St Mirren are in this game, I know they're hitting on the counter a few times, but they're playing largely defensively, we should be taking the initiative and we should be saying, okay, we're the home team, we're the team that's kind of dominating here, let's press our advantage, let's push ahead and take a few chances. And look, you know, we're in a position where we have to win every game. You're not going to win every game if you play it safe continually. You know, we've got to take a couple of wee risks here. Let's push ahead, let's try and get a couple of goals, and then we can worry about showing it up.
No, you're right. Stevie Boy, St Mirren getting away with murder. Actually, the reason I'm bringing that up is I think you're right. I think there was certainly a couple of occasions in that first half where their players have been simulating. The free kick, you know, they didn't get it. And you're thinking, right, okay, so that's a dive. That's a bookable offence. Why isn't it happening? And obviously, when you look at last week, some of the biggest controversies were around the simulation. Then, you know, stamp it out. It's not happening. They're getting away with it. Waheed Bob, 3-0 by half-time, was a little adventurous, you'd think, but he didn't know it was windy. Okay. I'm going to stick to 3-3. I said 3-1. I just hope that it's not 3-1 and we're having to come back from 1-0 down. Thanks, everybody, for getting involved. Yes, not the best first half, but let's go and rejoin the action in the second half, and hopefully we can get a quick goal in the first 10, get a couple of subs after 65 and really get the, you know, play this out. I think to a 3-0 or 3-1 conclusion. We will be talking about it at the end of the game, of course. Thanks, everybody, for getting involved. And thank you to Chris McElwain for joining me on A Celtic State of Mind.
Network.